started, we'll be referencing other verses in this chapter, but I want us to read Titus chapter 1, verse number 11. Titus chapter 1, verse number 11. The title for the message today is Things They Ought Not. Things They Ought Not. The Bible says, verse number 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we are truly thankful for another day to be alive, thankful to have the health where we can come to church. And Lord, I do thank you for the ones that are present here. I thank you for this church. Thank you for the ones that are so faithful, the ones who love you, that serve this church. Lord, thank you for what a blessing they are, both men and women. And Lord, I thank you for all that you have done and all that you continue to do for our church. And I pray, God, that you would help us to move forward in the days to come, be more of the church that you'd have us to be. Lord, please help our missionaries. Lord, help us to continue to support them both financially and prayerfully. Lord, I pray that you would please minister to the needs of all those associated with our church and even beyond, people we know that are sick and hurting and have needs of all kinds. We ask, Lord, that you help them, and Lord, where we're able, help us to help them. And Lord, to help us to be sure that in everything we give you the glory and the honor and not try to take any credit for ourselves. And most of all today, we thank you for our salvation through the shed blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. In Titus chapter 1, verse number 5, we learn that Paul left Titus in Crete. He left him there that he would set in order the things that were wanting and to ordain elders in every city. That's what the scripture says in verse number 5. And then obviously at a later time, Paul wrote this personal. And I say personal because this letter is not addressed to a church. It's addressed to an individual. It is addressed specifically to Titus. And also, when you look at verse number 4, you see there was a very special relationship that existed between the Apostle Paul and young Titus. Paul calls him his own son after the common faith. So after leaving Paul in Crete in order to set things in order, he later writes this very personal epistle to instruct Titus about what to do and what to teach while living among the Cretans. And in the verse we just read, verse number 11, Paul describes what we learn to be a large number of the population of Crete. Take a look at verse number 10 in this chapter. Paul says there, for there are many, many, not a few, not one, not a handful, but there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Just take a look for a moment there at some of the things Paul says about these many people who inhabited Crete. He says they were unruly. That means they would not be ruled. They would not submit to established authority, God-ordained authority. They were unruly. He says they were vain talkers. The word vain means worthless, means useless, of no value. So they were guilty of saying things that were of no value or worth whatsoever. Deceivers, they were guilty of deceiving people. He says, especially they of the circumcision. So obviously these people, a lot of them were Jews. That's the reference when it talks about the circumcision. And these mentioned here in verse 10 are the ones that Paul deals with also in verse number 11, the verse we read just a few minutes ago. So there were many people, not just a few, but many people in this place, in Crete, that fit the description that Paul gives in verse number 11. And in verse number 11, I want you to notice some things that Paul deals with, some things he addresses concerning this people. First of all, he talks about their mouths. He talks about their mouths. Notice what he says in verse number 11. He says, whose mouths must be stopped. Talking about the ones he mentions back in verse 10, whose mouths must be stopped. The idea is somebody has to put an end to what these people are saying. Their mouths must be stopped. It's not a matter of, can we get by with letting it continue on? Their mouths must be stopped. We've got to put an end. Somebody's got to step up and put an end to the things that these people are saying, these vain talkers, these deceivers. This is one reason why Paul told Titus to ordain qualified elders in all of the different cities. Men that were qualified, men who, according to verse number 9, would hold fast the faithful word and be able to stop the mouths of those that the Apostle Paul is talking about here in the verses we're studying. So number one, he deals with their mouths. Their mouths must be stopped. And I think as we continue on through the verse, you'll get some clarification as to why Paul says what he does here about these people. Second thing I want you to notice about these people in verse number 11 is not just their mouths, but their mess. What I call their mess. He says whose mouths must be stopped, and then he goes on to say who subvert whole houses. They subvert whole houses. When he uses the word houses in the verse, obviously he's not talking about the structures, the homes that these people lived in. He's talking about the people that lived in these structures, the families that were there in Crete. And he says these folks that he's talking about subvert whole houses. That is entire houses, entire families is what he says. Now, I want you to look at the word subvert. That is a word that means to turn under, to turn under. The word look at it carefully. Sub is the beginning of it. Sub is under. Like when you have a submarine, for example. A submarine is a ship that's under the water, right? Or a subway, for example. That's another illustration. That's basically an underground train is what that is. Sub is under, and vert means to turn. So it's to turn under. It's literally to turn upside down, to take something that's up here and put it down here, to turn it upside down. So what he says here about these people is that they were turning entire families. Y'all following what I'm saying? Whole houses, entire families were being turned upside down by these people. That's what he says here in the verse, turning entire families upside down. Now, take a look at what else he says here. He talks about their mouths. He talks about their mess. The mess they're making is what I'm referring to. The mess they're making is they're turning families upside down. And how are they doing this? How is it that these people are making a mess of the families there in Crete? How are they turning these families upside down? And you do understand, I think, by now, we should all understand that when you mess up the families in a place, in a country, in a society, you're weakening the whole structure of that country. But we're only as strong as our families, amen? And that's one reason why we're so pitiful right now in the United States of America. The family has been turned upside down. It's under attack. A complete mess is being made of many of the families in our country, and that's one reason why the structure of our country is so out of shape and so messed up today. But how was it? How was it that they were turning these families upside down? Well, take a look at it. It's the third thing I want you to notice. Their mouths, their message, or their mess, and then their message. Their message. He says, who subvert whole houses. How are they doing this, Paul? Teaching things which they ought not. Is the picture getting a little bit clearer for you as we go along in the verse? Can you understand why Paul starts out the verse by saying their mouths must be stopped? Why does he say we got to put an end to what they're saying? Why do their mouths have to be stopped? Because it was through their mouths, right? Through the things they were teaching that they were making a mess out of the families. That's how they were turning these families upside down, through their message, through the things that they were teaching. And what were these things, by the way? Well, look at what Paul says. He says, teaching things which they ought not. Their message was a wrong message. It was a corrupt message. It was a message that was not in line with the Word of God. And that's why Paul says their mouths must be stopped. They're using their mouths to propagate teaching, to propagate a message that is not in line with the Word of God. And great damage, a great mess is being made through the things that they're saying. They're messing up entire families with the message that they're teaching, with what's coming out of their mouth. One thing I hope you understand here is that you can do tremendous damage in a person's life with your mouth, with what you say. You can hurt people very deeply. You can wound people to a point that they may never recover from it for the rest of their life. And you can not only mess up an individual, but you can mess up an entire family, a whole household full of people by the things that you say. I am amazed at how little we watch the things we say. We're very loose and liberal with the things that come out of our mouths sometimes, and we don't take into consideration the damage that we might be doing, the people we might be hurting, how we might be messing up not just an individual but a whole family with what we say. But in this passage right here, I think Paul is talking more about religious leaders, preachers, teachers, so forth. People going around propagating a message that was not in line with the Word of God. And in doing this, they were making a mess out of whole families there in Crete. Do you realize this morning that if the devil can't get you through things in this world, if he can't get you through drugs and alcohol and pornography and immorality and just giving yourself over to the pleasures of this life and partying. If he can't get you that way, you know what he'll do? He'll try to get you by sending something your way that appears to be spiritual. That's what he'll do. And I believe that is the case with a lot of people right now in the country that we live in. I believe there's a lot of people, I'm serious as I can be this morning, I believe there's a lot of people, they got saved young on in life, and they're you know, overall, they're good people. They got saved, and they started down the right path, and they live a clean life even right now. Their life's not filled with all sorts of sin and ungodliness. They're not out in the world, but now, they have been turned under. Now they're a part of a denomination, or part of a church, or they're under some man's ministry that is propagating a false teaching, and it has messed them up very badly from a spiritual perspective. And unfortunately, a lot of them don't even realize what has happened to them. They think they're still on the right track, believing the right things. And again, their lives, you know, looking at their lives, some of them, I dare say, probably live cleaner lives than some of us in this building here today. But they're not on the right track. See, the devil couldn't get them with the worldly stuff. He tried that. He brought things their way to tempt them, to try them, but he couldn't get them to bite. He couldn't get them to buy into all the worldly things, so he took a different route. And he sent some people along with a message something that was coming out of their mouths, things that they ought not be saying, and somehow, some way, he got these people to buy into that message. And now whole families that were at one point a part of a good church, going along believing right, are now out, and they're under somebody or something that's teaching stuff they ought not. What a shame it is when something like that happens, because, again, going back to this thing about the family, when you get families messed up, you are well on your way to bringing down an entire society. And all of us in here, I hope, understand this morning, there is an all-out attack on the family in the United States of America. Don't you forget it for one second. This homosexual and sodomite agenda, that's just the attack of the devil on the family is what that is. But he's not only using vile, wretched things like that to mess up our families, to get our families all out of whack. If he can't get people to bite on that stuff, I'm telling you, he'll send them something else. He'll send them a message that seems spiritual, that's coming from a person that seems spiritual, and they'll bite on that message, and the next thing you know, they're involved in a religion or something of that nature that is not in line with the Word of God. It's going on all across this country right now. This is one reason why you see a lot of the churches that you see today flourishing. Because you got these people that are preaching and teaching things they ought not, and people are biting in on that, and they're believing that stuff, and they're getting their whole families in it, all wrapped up in that stuff, and they think they're doing the right thing, and all that's happened is the devil has used a message to make a mess out of them spiritually. I'm going to tell you something right now that I believe, and if you don't believe it, that's perfectly all right. We in a free country still, you can believe what you want. But probably the vast majority of the big churches in our country right now, if the preacher got up there starting today and for 1 month just preached the Word of God like he's supposed to, you'd begin to see that congregation dwindle down in size. Now, you know what I'm telling you, the truth. That's exactly what would happen. Because people are to the point where they just ain't going to endure that sound doctrine. They just don't want that, and their minds have been warped and messed up by a message, by things that somebody taught that they ought not be teaching. They bit on that stuff, and now they're brainwashed and they're convinced that this is right. And it's all wrong. It's all wrong. And that was what was going on with these people and what Paul is saying to Titus. Man, we got to stop their mouths. We got to do something to shut these people down, because they're making a mess out of the families. And if the families are in a mess, there's no way things can be in Crete the way God wants them to be. And I'm telling you, until we get our families back, there's no way that this country is going to get back where God wants it to be. There's no way. Part of getting our families back is hopefully somehow helping these families realize where they've strayed off of the path and embrace something that they don't need to be a part of. That's why we need to be careful about the things that we teach and be sure that we're sound in what we believe. One other thing I want you to see here, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this message. He talks about their mouths. He talks about the mess they were making, the message they were preaching. One other thing real quick, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I do want you to notice their motive. Their motive. Why were they teaching the things that they were teaching? Why was it they were trying to turn these families upside down? Get them upside down to where they're under them and their influence. Why were they doing that? Was it because they loved them? Was it because they had their best interest at heart, because they wanted to help them? Is that what it was? No. Not according to the Bible, it wasn't. Why were they teaching these things which they ought not? He says, for filthy lucre's sake. You know what that is, right? What is that? That's the old greenback, the C notes. That stuff that people just trip over themselves trying to get nowadays. And no matter how much they get, it's never enough. They always want more. The love of money is the root of all evil, and unfortunately, that doesn't just affect people out in the business world or whatever. It affects people within the church as well. There are a lot of money-hungry people within the church. You know what a lot of these preachers, telling you. What they realized is that they could make money, make what the Bible calls merchandise, make merchandise off of God's people. They realized that. They realized, y'all don't get mad with me, they realized that most Christians don't know enough of the Word of God themselves to pick up on a message that's not right. They have realized that. They realize, and I don't mean to offend anybody, that a lot of Christians are as dumb as a box of rocks when it comes to the Word of God. They've understood that, and so they picked up on, hey, we can come in here because they're not going to study. They're not going to read their Bible. Most of them don't even have a real Bible, and we can slip them this message here and get them under us and a part of our church and a part of our program, and we can make money off of them. It's filthy lucre. That's the motive that a lot of them have. Take a look back in this same chapter at verse number 9. You notice a word that Paul uses for them here. The Lord Jesus Christ called them hirelings. Hirelings. You know what a hireling is? It's just somebody who does what they do for money. For hire. That's what it is. Here, verse number 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the what? Gainsayers. Why does he call them a gainsayer? Just look at the word. A gainsayer. That's pretty clear, isn't it? They're saying what they say for gain. It's for personal advantage. They recognize, hey, if we can get these people to come under us, then we can profit from them. We can benefit from them. We can make money off of these people, so they say things that they ought not be saying. That's what Paul says. Teaching things which they ought not. They teach a message that many of them know themselves is not right. They know it's not right. They know it's not in line with the Bible, it's not the truth, but it's what the people want to hear. So they scratch those itching ears by teaching them the things that they know they want them to hear, that they themselves know is not right, in order to draw them in. They're just drawing the net so they can benefit from them financially. That's what's going on. What's happening? Family after family after family across these United States being turned upside down, buying into this, listening to things they ought not. Just in case you're wondering, I do want to point out real quick that Paul gives a method for dealing with people like this. What's the method in dealing with people that he's describing here, people that are teaching things they ought not? Well, there's a couple of things that he says needs to be done. First of all, if you look back in this same chapter, you'll find that you got to have qualified leadership that knows the Bible to correct them with sound doctrine. And if not correct, at the very least, confront them with sound doctrine. How do you deal with unsound doctrine? How do you deal with it, Paul? What do we got to do to stop their mouths, to shut down this message they're propagating that's not right? What do we have to do? Well, the way you shut down sound doctrine or you confront sound doctrine, the first thing is you got to be sound in your doctrine. And then you take that sound doctrine and you come against unsound doctrine. Paul says it right here, Titus chapter 1. He talks in verse number 5 about ordaining elders in every city as he appointed. And then he begins to give the qualifications for an elder. An elder was the spiritual leader in the church, like the pastor, okay? And this is what he says about them. You can read it. We're not going to read all of it, but they got to be blameless, a husband of one wife, faithful children, and so forth. And then he comes to verse 9, still talking about those elders, and he says this is what they have to do. Holding fast the faithful word. What word's he talking about? The word of God. holding fast the faithful word. That is, he holds on to it. He doesn't back up. He doesn't bow down. He doesn't compromise one bit. He stays right with the faithful word of God. That's what he does. Listen to me. That's one of the qualifications of being a minister. I'm telling you right now, that qualification by itself disqualifies over half of the preachers in this country right now. They have forsaken the Word of God. They're not standing with the true Bible and preaching the Word of God like it's supposed to be preached. One of the qualifications is that they hold fast to the Word of God. They stay with that. Any man that won't do that, I don't care what kind of tie he wears, what kind of fancy suit he wears. I don't care how good of an orator he is. He doesn't deserve 1 second in a pulpit nowhere. And that's the kind of mess that's going on across this land right now. We're to the point now where it doesn't matter what the man says. It doesn't matter the message he's preaching. It doesn't matter the doctrine he's teaching. None of that matters. Is he handsome? Does he got pearl white teeth, you know, and got on a fancy Hickey Freeman suit and got his hair all slicked back? My hair ain't going to be slicked back, okay? I'm serious. Y'all think I'm just making this stuff up. I'm telling you, that's the kind of junk churches want now. Some fancy highfalutin guy, all slick back, smiling all the time, always saying positive, nice, sweet things to everybody. Ooh. If that's the kind of mess you like, help yourself. That I just want to vomit on the stage when I see that stuff. It's sickening. It's sickening to watch that. But that's the junk you got now. Just telling the people, giving them the message that he knows they want to hear. Saying things that he knows, probably, if he's a saved man, he knows down in his heart he ain't saying what he needs to them people. He's not telling them the truth. This qualification right here, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. Why? That he may be able, look at it, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. How do you confront people like that? Well, you got to get sound in your doctrine. You got to be sound in it. That's why I've told y'all a million times over, you need to get in your Bible. And I realize he's talking about spiritual leaders here. I believe that it is certainly my place and my responsibility as a minister to make sure that I know this Bible as best as I can. And I try to study and I try to learn and I try to grow and I want to know the truth. And I want to be able when I'm confronted, and I get confronted, but I want to be able when I'm confronted with something like this, that I can take the Word of God, sound doctrine, and confront the falsehood. But I'm going to say what I believe. I don't think it's just me that needs to be in this condition. I think everybody in here that says they're a child of God needs to be sound in their doctrine. You need to be able, when you hear something on television, to say, whoa, that ain't right. How do you know it ain't right? Because it don't line up with the Bible. When somebody at work starts attacking you, somebody from some, you know, messed up, whatever, starts attacking you and trying to convince you to come on board with them and be a part of their stuff, do you know enough Bible to withstand that? Do you know enough Bible to confront them? Do you know enough Bible to shut their mouth? Their mouths must be stopped. Do you know enough Bible to shut them down right there to where if they start with all their stuff, you start quoting scripture, say, this is what the Bible says, this is what the Bible says, this is what the Bible says, until you make it where they cannot open their mouth anymore right there in your presence. Can you do that? I believe you need to be able to do that. How do you deal with this? Well, number one, you got to be sound in doctrine. But I'll show you something else here. Look on down in this same chapter. Look at verse number 13. You got to be sound in doctrine. Convince them with the Word of God. You know, you hear people all the time talking about how you should never say anything against what somebody believes. That's just nonsense. Paul says their mouths must be stopped. We got to put an end to it. We got to stop it. If it's wrong, it needs to be addressed. But verse 13, Paul says this. This witness is true. The witness that he just talked about in verse 12, which we didn't read. But he says, wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. How do you deal with people like this? Well, number one, you got to be sound in your doctrine. Number two, sometimes you got to give a good, sharp, rebuke. You have to rebuke them. But that, you know, it's hard for people. But you understand what he's saying? Rebuke them sharply? He's not talking about being mean and hateful, and but he's talking about being firm with them, letting them know real quick, sharply. You don't play around. You don't mince words. That ain't right. You just tell them. That stuff is not right. And this is especially true if you got it going on in a church. You got somebody within a church that's teaching things they ought not be and trying to propagate a false message, false doctrine within a church. I believe it is the responsibility of the leadership in that church to shut that down. People say, well, if you do that, then they're going to get upset and they're going to leave. Well, they might. They might. But I'm going to tell you what I don't want to meet God with on me, okay? You do what you will. I don't want to meet the Lord and have to answer for families in this congregation that I'm responsible for, knowing that I let that mess go on and I didn't have enough guts about me to shut that down. I don't want to have to meet God with that, because I know I'm going to meet him and I'm going to give account for myself, not just as a husband and a father, but as a pastor. And I don't want to meet the Lord with that on me. It has to be dealt with. You cannot let it go. Didn't Paul say about doctrine that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? You just let that false stuff go on, people teaching things they ought not to be, whether it be a Sunday school teacher, whatever the case might be, and if you don't deal with that stuff, it just spreads and it permeates the entire church, and the next thing you know, you got a bunch of people believing stuff they don't need to believe. You have to deal with these things. What's some of this message? Things they ought not. And I'm just about done, fixing to be finished. I'm going to tell you some things. I'm just going to mention them. I'm not even going to deal with them. Some stuff you better watch out for when you hear this message. When you hear that you got to work your way to heaven, you better watch out for that. When you hear somebody propagating the message that you got to work to keep your salvation, you better watch out for that mess. When you hear somebody tell you that you got to speak in tongues to get the Spirit of God, you better watch out for that mess. When you hear somebody tell you that Jesus Christ isn't God, you better watch out for that mess. When somebody knocks on your door and they got a little pamphlet and they tell you that only 144,000 of them is going to heaven and there ain't no such thing as a literal burning hell, you better watch out for that mess. When somebody tells you got to talk to Mary in order to get to God, you got to confess your sins to a priest and that the Pope can speak infallibly, you better watch out for that mess. When somebody tells you the church is going through the tribulation, you better watch out for that mess. When people tell you that we don't have a perfect Bible today, you better watch out for that mess. I believe we got a perfect Bible. You say, who would do that? Independent Baptists, Southern Baptists, people all over this country tell you right now there ain't no such thing as a perfect Bible down here on this planet. They're a liar from hell is what they are. Amen. We got a perfect Bible, friend. When they tell you, when somebody comes and tells you, well, you need to put aside that old King James version, that old King Jimmy, that country jive version, and get you one of these new modern fang-dangle things that you can understand, you better watch out for that man. You better watch out for that man. That's somebody that's been sent with something that they ought not say to you. They're telling you something they ought not say. You better watch out for it when they tell you that all we have is just reliable versions and translations and it's all right, you can use whichever one you want, they're all the same. They're lying to you. If you have paid attention to anything that I have preached from this pulpit for the last 16 and a half years of my life, you know that the NIV is not the same as the King James Bible. It's not the truth. If you don't know that, then I don't know what to do for you. Somebody tells you it's all right for a woman to be a pastor and teach men, you better watch out for that. Got quiet on that one, didn't it? All I did is give you a Bible. You say, that's just your opinion. No, it ain't. It's the Word of God. What I gave you is a Bible, okay? It's not my opinion. Somebody tells you can lose your salvation, you better watch out for that. When they start preaching this prosperity gospel, God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise all the time. And if you're sick, you're out of the will of God. And if you're poor, you're out of the will of God and all that mess. Hey, that's the thing that's sweeping the land. Now, you better watch out for that. That's something somebody ought not be saying. This positive preaching that we're getting into, and you can just go on with the list. You know, don't ever say anything negative. I heard this fellow the other day, not too awful long ago, and he was in an interview, and somebody was asking why he didn't preach on sin. He never does. He don't say anything about it. Why he doesn't preach on sin, why he doesn't preach on hell, why he doesn't say anything about some of the negative stuff. Well, he said, that's just not my calling. Is that right? You call yourself a preacher, and that ain't your calling? If I'm not badly mistaken, the Apostle Paul, who I consider to be the prince of preachers, said, I'm not going to hold back anything that is profitable for you, but I will declare unto you the whole counsel of God. A man that only preaches positive sermons is of the devil. And I make no apology for what I just said. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we come to you today in Jesus' name, thankful. Thankful, Lord, for the word of God. Thankful for the truth. And Lord, I pray you'd help each one of us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord, help us to be sound so that we'll be able to stand against falsehood, false doctrine, things that people say they ought not. Give us grace, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Help our families. Lord, so many families are going astray. I pray you would help them. Lord, we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.